Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 6 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled The Will of God. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
God, I've already been over, has created us to have dominion over the earth with Him. And that's the third side. That's where we join God. And when we join God, then we can find that all of the promises of dominion are there. They don't work when we're asking God to join our dominion. They work when we join God's dominion. So the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom I started last week on the will of God now and the future. So I want us to start thinking about the... Last week I introduced the idea of the will of God, how the prophets, did they miss it or not? And I'll mention that here in just a minute. But I want us to start thinking and start getting our brains on this line of thinking, the will of God for now and the will of God for the future. Now, did the prophets miss the elections last week? I said no. I don't think they missed it 100%. I think they missed the interpretation. And I showed you in last week how they were trying to tell future, which is forbidden in Scripture. Now, nobody really knowingly tries to tell future. I mean, I'm not saying that the prophets were, even though if they would stop and think, if they would stop and listen to this teaching, they could say, oh, okay, I think I understand that, which I have had some watch it. But they were trying to tell future. Now, here's what's happened. In the prophetic movement, it has been given permission to tell future. For some reason, nobody's calling anybody's hand on it. And since my day job is a farmer, I can do it, and it not cost a whole lot, maybe a gallon of milk or two. But so what happens is nobody's calling their hand on telling. Now, you slip into it. It's not like somebody is criminal and they're wanting to tell future and be like a soothsayer or something. It's just that you kind of slip into it. And you can want something. Have you ever wanted something for somebody and they didn't want it? Is everybody, have you ever got any Christmas presents? You're like, what were they thinking? Right here, like, what am I going to do with this? So what happens is, in telling future, we tend to tell what we want out of the soul, not realizing that's what happens. But that tends to be what, and I'm not trying to give an excuse for it, but I am trying to say it's not hard to get there. This is, if it's a slip, it's not a slip far. It's right there close. And now, it's instead of trying to tell the will of God. So I introduced last week the terminology and the thinking of the will of God and how we got the future, then we got the will of God, and we went over some different slides. I'll hit a few more of those here in a moment. Now, we are obsessed with the future. I'm not saying that that's not normal, but I am saying we are obsessed with the future. Very few days go by but what you're not thinking about and wonder what's going to happen with, you know, with the future, with the government, with our country, with whatever. We're just, how long will I live, you know? But to a believer, basically we never die, so why should we be worried about that one? We might leave from this place and step over into another. But so we've got to keep, you say, well, Alan, why do you say that? Because the Word of God says that. That's why. So the Word of God brings an absolute to me about an unknown future. Is that okay? Now, if you want to know what's going to happen on planet Earth, it's in there too. I mean, it's pretty cut and dried. Can we have some good days ahead? Yeah, we can have some good ones, but there's some bad ones coming sometime or another. So we can see what this, but we are still obsessed somewhat with the future. This is what happened with Israel, with the soothsayers and all of this sort of stuff. Now listen, We discussed this morning, Brian and Craig and Seth and myself, over a sausage biscuit. And trust me, the anointing is around a sausage biscuit. And so we were just sitting there discussing, you know, the future. And Brian was talking about the log jam and these types of things. But anyway, but we need to be obsessed with the will of God going into the future. So the will of God is an issue. God created this planet because that was His will. So you'll find out that everything revolves around the will of God. And when we are in sin, we are going against the will of God. I mean, we tend to take sin very personal. I'm thinking, what are you going to do with that? We do tend to take sin very personal, but it's a bigger picture than that. Because sin means I am fighting against the will of God. We think, oh, that's I did something wrong, so therefore it has no value. It has tremendous value. Because if I am against the will of God, I am not for the will of God. Is it the will of God that I sin? No, of course it isn't. So, but we're going to get into that just a little more. We need to be obsessed with the will of God going into the future. Now, God created the earthly realm, and God wanted to share His dominion with man because it is His will in the earth for its future. So God has a future will for the planet. And the question is if we're going to join Him with it. Now, keep in mind again, I've done the teaching on dominion and how God's created us to have dominion upon this earth. Now, believe it or not, as Christian believers, we tend to walk pretty defeated most of the time. We can give a report on what the devil's done to us in a week's time better than we can what God's done for us. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's just the fallen nature of man. We just tend to do that. Now, the three kingdoms are in constant conflict because two of them are illegal. And only one focuses on the holy will of God. Only one focuses on... So we have to make a decision here. Three kingdoms. And it's whose kingdom will we focus on? Darkness is an open attack on the will of God. It's just the way it is. As believers, there's no... I'm sorry, but there's no downtime. You don't get vacation from being a Christian, right? I mean, lest you die in that moment and go to hell. So we don't want God to take a vacation on our salvation. So God doesn't want us to take a vacation on our Christianity. So just get that out of your mind. I'm going to go to the beach so I can just lay down all of my cares and troubles and I won't have to worry about God for a week. Even though that's the way we think at times. Man tries to call God to his side to defeat darkness when God is calling man to his side to defeat evil. Has everybody got that? And you can say, well, Alan, I know. Well, it's important that we really get that, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. Can we know the will of God? Well, the answer to that is yes, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Not only can we approve it, but we can know the perfect will of God. Doesn't say in a shadow, it says a perfect will of God. Now, one way we can know the perfect will of God is He's given us a book that it's written in. So the perfect will of God is in this book that we carry around. The perfect will of God is here. We're carrying around, but He also teaches us. Now, the renewing of something means at one time it was new, right? One time it was new. So here it says to renew. So when we were born again, we got anew. But here He's saying, if you don't get into the will of God, and you've probably known God for a little while, your mind's probably going to need a renewing. Are you with me? So if you're sitting in here today and you don't think you need a renewing, you're the one that needs a renewal. That's all. We need this renewing. Now here's why. Let's see here's the spiritual science behind that. God updates his operating system every day. So therefore, you need the latest version every day. Now you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Did anybody feel the witness of the Spirit? You've just got to understand that. I'm one of these people who thinks God's creating new stuff and puts it on the earth, plants and animals. All again, thing God's got to do is say it, and there it is. So when there's a purpose in renewing. The renewing is the reason we're before the Lord and with the Lord and renewing our minds every day is because God's got a new operating system that we need to know His will in. We need to operate in the will of God. Every day, how many times have you went to the Bible and said, boy, I've read that 100 times, but I'd never seen it that way. Well, you must have got renewed. You got an update for some reason that God wanted you to see that then. God's not showing us everything in this book yet. There's a whole lot more to be seen than we've seen. So if you've read this book and say, well, I know everything's in there, you need renewed quickly. Bad. Why? Because God reveals. He reveals His word and His will to the renewed mind. What if He gives you a renewal? What if He gives you some new information, but you're running an old software? What happens? It causes problems, causes a log jam, right? Things just don't work well, but we're going to get into that one a little more. So the renewing of the mind, why are we in here today? Why do we come to church on Sunday? It's to renew our minds. Why do we have quiet time with God? It's so that our minds are renewed. Why do we worship God? Now, I talk about in renewing the mind, worshiping God is the quick way to renew. We can read and we can study. But when we worship, it's like it's running times 100. You get a quick renewal in worship. And that's a spiritual teaching in itself. But that's the reason worship is so important. God tells us to worship Him. It's not for Him, it's for us. Because there's a transaction, renewal takes place in worship. Now, good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So how to be a prophetic voice and deliver the will of God. Now, the will of God. God did not want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:17, but they did it anyway. And I asked you last week, was that the will of God? It wasn't the will of God last week, and it's not this week. God did not want people to sacrifice their children to idols in Leviticus, but they did it anyway. That was not the will of God. God wanted the Israelites to enter the promised land the first time they came there, but the Israelites refused to go in. And that's in Numbers 14. And we might get into this a little bit today, but when you're walking in the will of God, timing is everything. They missed it first time around. That was the perfect timing. But they missed it, and you say, well, yeah, they got in there. Yeah, but you need to read what happened in between time. So you see. So when we start understanding the will of God, the will of God, it kind of has a season or it has a shelf life in some situations. If the Lord tells you to go speak to this person, then you say, well, that didn't work out. When God tells you that, you go do it. And the reason that happens is you in the will of God, the will of God is spoken to us usually, not always, but usually in the season that we're to give it. Just remember that. So, let's move on. Just because it is the will of God, it does not mean it will happen. Now, that's last week, that was kind of our conclusion. The main thing I was wanting us to see is just because something is the will of God doesn't mean it's going to happen. We know it's the will of God that everyone be saved, right? But we know that doesn't happen. We know it's the will of God that none of us ever sin again when we leave this building. Chances of that are probably pretty remote. But Still, we know that is the will of God. So, the will of God, who makes the will of God true? When God's calling us to walk with Him in the will of God, if the Lord tells you to go give somebody the gospel, you say, oh no, what if they reject it? Well, here's what happens. If God gives you that, and that's His will, He's already prepared the heart to receive what you're going to take them. You're not going in cold turkey. There's situations happened in their life that God has said, now He's saying to you, I want you to take the... You say, well, that's a complete stranger in Walmart. How can I do that? Well, God's prepared the other end to receive the word that He's given you. And now this is where the trust in the will of God comes in. We're going to hit on that hopefully a little bit today. So, but I can choose not to do the will of God and go give somebody the gospel. And you say, well, if I don't give it, somebody else will. Not necessarily. You might be the only time that they're going to get the will of God. Did you know the only way that you can come to Christ is when God sends His Holy Spirit to trouble your heart? You can't come to Christ anytime you flip and feel like it. You can't. It's not the way it works. So we'll maybe get into that one. The way we understand God's will is very important for how we respond to God's will. So number one, we've learned that God's will doesn't always happen. That much we know. We've also learned that the prophetic voice is to speak forth the will of God. That can be through circumstances, but it'll always be based upon His Word. Now, I want us to look at here for a moment the sovereign will of God. We have, no telling how many different ways God's will comes to the earth, but we know in the sovereign will of God, when God does not include man in something, it just happens, such as Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. That was the sovereign will of God. And I said to you even last week, there are times that God includes us in His will. Now, why in the world He came up with that idea, I have no idea, but this is God's deal, and this is His way. I think it's because He's called us into dominion with Him. And since He's called us into dominion with Him, we are a true player. So God said, let there be light, and there was what? There was light. We know all of that happened in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, God created man. Man did pretty good, but then they had a bad day. So when man had a bad day, then we fell out of the will of God is what happened. Now, most of you have heard me say this. Perhaps there's a few that haven't heard this, but you can take Genesis 1 and 2 in your Bible and then read Revelation 21 and 22 and pretend that Revelation 21 and 22 is Genesis 3 and 4. If you take Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 and you put them together, you'll know what God was doing in Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Fall of man happens in Genesis 3. And so it takes all of this book in the middle to get us caught back up so we can walk into Revelation 21. Took a whole lot to get it straightened out, didn't it? But God got it done, brings us back up to speed. So if you want to know God's whole plan in this book, when I teach people Bible, I start off with teaching, read Genesis 1, Genesis 2, then Revelation 21, 22, because you need to understand that God was in a building project in which to send His new Jerusalem to the earth. That's God's plan. God's plan is to send, did I say it, new Jerusalem to the earth. And He's going to rule and reign the universe from this planet. This planet's going to be the center of God's universe. The new Jerusalem. Heaven's going to be on earth. That's right. Heaven's going to be on this earth, on this planet. Revelation 21, Revelation 22. So when God created in the beginning, He created, what he was, he was in a building project. He was building a planet, going to inhabit it with people to rule and reign with him. And this new Jerusalem, this city of his, with all these people that had went on, that trusted and believed in him, and he's going to shoot them down here. This city's going to come down. It's going to sit right over there in Jerusalem. And that's going to be the center of the universe. So that's what God was doing. So you can understand why we are to walk in dominion with him. The reason we're walking in dominion with him is because we're going to be in dominion with him, ruling and reigning. And so when we start seeing how God put the book together, it helps to me to get the overall picture first. What was God doing? And then we see why God redeems. So God put us in this earth, and he put us in Genesis. And when we hit Genesis 3, then we have the fall of man. Our hearts go south. So we're all sitting here with a heart that goes south. Amen. And God is redeeming us. Now let's move forward. The will of God and the free will of man. Now here we go. Now here you got the will of God, but God creates man in Genesis 3 and gives him a free will. Does that not sound dangerous to you? Sounds like giving your three-year-old the keys to the car or something, right? Or you know, give him an AK-47 or something. Like I'm sure Jason would, any children he had. That was a joke. Y'all can laugh there. That was a total joke, I think. Now, the will of God and the free will of man. Sometimes God's will involves the free will of man. So here we go. God gets into this mixture of his will, and he mixes man into his equation. This is where we come in. So we can sit back all we want to and say, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to enjoy a few things, or I'm going to do this, that, or the other, and I hope no catastrophes hits my life until I die and I go on to heaven. Now, that can be your M.O., but that's not God's M.O., and that's not what's going to happen in your life. The reason is it is God's will. And I know what I was going to say, and then I forgot it when we were sitting together. Oh, and it left me again right there, Seth. Well, it left me again. It came back, and then it was gone. Sometimes God's will involves the free will of man. Now, watch this. In these cases, he makes his will known by some means, and then man chooses to agree and participate or disagree. So God has a will, and then he makes it known to us, and then we are to agree or disagree with him. I know some individuals that knows what the will of God is for their life, and they've been hanging on it for 10, 12 years, and it hasn't happened yet. And it's so faith-building to me is when I talk to him, they're still at the same place as they were day one. I'm like, are you not giving up yet? You know, aren't you weakening a little bit or something or whatever? And they just have this supernatural faith. No, this is the will of God. I know this is the will of God. And they're parking on that will of God. Now, does it include other people a lot of times? Yes, it does. Does it mean that it'll happen? Not necessarily. But the question is, you don't do the will of God for the outcome. You're obedient to the will of God because God said it. Can you hear me? You're obedient to the will of God because that's the will of God. Now, here's the only thing I can say to you. If it's the will of God, it's very possible it's going to happen. I don't know if you read the book, God Doesn't Play Fair. Anybody read the book? Listen, I'd rather steal from anybody than God. Okay, you got it? Now, we're going to get into that one. Here we go. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. Right? So we know there that the will of God, if when he sends his Spirit, does that mean that a person will say yes? No. But we know that the Spirit of God's drawing someone. This is the verse that we know that just because you are flipping ready to get right with God doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because if the Holy Ghost is not drawing you, you can't get there. You might feel bad for it, but you're not convicted. You can't repent lest the Holy Spirit draws you. So here we go. When man disagrees with God, guess what? Houston, we have a problem. We have a huge problem. So therefore, we see the center of most of the problems of our own lives. It's either somebody else disagreeing with God or you disagreeing with God, with the will of God. Now, God's will is not always happening on earth. We pray for God's will. If it is going to happen, why pray for God's will if it is going to happen automatically? You cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will, because God's will does not always happen. Now, that can be saddening, but let me finish the teaching before you get too sad. God does not demand control of everything. If he did, we would not have the ability to be free and make our own choices. So then, now we get down to this place. It's about choices. It's about choices. Now, believe it or not, you have a choice. Yes, no, I will participate, I will not. You have a choice. Now, understand, waiting to say yes to God is a choice. Waiting is a no until yes is achieved. Don't think waiting is an almost yes and God's impressed. He's not. Waiting is not an almost yes. It's like a light switch. It's either on or it's off. All right. Now remember this. Let's just remember this. God's will was and is to share his dominion over the earth with his people. Now remember that. God's will is to share his dominion over the earth. What stops the will of God? It is when we reject his will, when we misrepresent his will, or it's stolen. Do you mean to tell me that the will of God can be stolen? Now, lest I get an email, I am not referring to the election, okay? Don't go there on me, because I can see eyebrows raising. I did not use that for an example this morning, okay? When we reject his will, when we misrepresent it, or is it a stolen? Can God's will be stolen? And the answer is yes. Can it be misrepresented? Yes. Can we reject it? Yes. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should come get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So we see here that there is a battle going on. What is the battle about? It's about the will of God. That's what it's about. It's about the will of God. And we are to be a player in having dominion and dispensing, if you will, the will of God to the earth. But this is the battle. Make no mistake. What causes us to reject the will of God? Number one, the devil's causes us to cast doubt on God. We'll doubt God. Genesis 3 gives us the first of Satan's tricks, casting doubt on God and his word. You know the scripture, Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said to the woman. Now you know what this scripture is, ye shall not surely die. So here we see the first thing that happens in Genesis is Satan causes mankind to doubt God at his word. Now the will of God is the word of God. It has a will and it has a word. With these words, the devil challenges God's words and how we receive them. Not only does he challenge them, but he challenges how we receive. In other words, if we're trying to receive God's word and we're sitting here and we got to judge every move that God makes, every word that God says, how you got to have a receptive heart, not a debating heart. There's a difference. What causes us to reject the will of God? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So it's important how we hear it and how we receive it. When we hear the Word of God, do we receive it? By believing it. Now, there's one thing to receive it and hear it, and there's another one to believe it. There's a battle that goes on from receiving and believing. Do we doubt what God said in His Word? When we doubt God's words, we are not operating in faith. This will allow the enemy to deceive us like he did Eve. That's what we're what's trying to take place during this time of receiving and believing is the enemy is trying to get us to doubt the Word of God. What stops us from carrying out the will of God? Now, this is in Luke, and I'm going to go over it quickly. I just have a few minutes here. I'm going to call it distractions and temptations. Now, we all have distractions. I am going to use the elections now. The elections was a distraction. You say, well, Alan, I think it was more than that. Okay, I'll help you out a little bit. It was a big distraction. All right, does that help? It was a big distraction. Because, and I am going to show you why here in a minute. Now, Jesus was being full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan. Now, this is in the book of Luke. Now, what I'm wanting you to see here is that you remember the temptation of Jesus on the mountain? You remember that? Satan came to Jesus and, well, understand something. Jesus went into this temptation full of the Holy Ghost, it says. And then this is all of his temptations. It's in Luke. Is it Luke 4, isn't it? I think it's Luke 4. That's his temptations. I'm not going to read them all. But then down at verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in what? The power of the Spirit. So Jesus went into his temptations full. And because he didn't yield to them, he came out empowered. So there's a reason for the temptations. It's important that we refuse the temptations. You see, the temptations are the final task right before the great battle. You're supposed to be tempted. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that didn't overcome temptations, right? It's because when we overcome temptations that then God says, I can trust you. I can trust you. I can trust you with my will. I can tell you more. And so that's what happens. What stops us from carrying out the will of God? If the enemy can distract us from pursuing God's will, he will succeed in stopping us from doing what God wants. It's all distractions. We have more distractions than anything. Watch this one. If he doesn't succeed in stopping us, he can at least delay us and cause us to miss the perfect timing of his will. That's what happens when we flirt with temptations. Flirting, the answer is no. Tempted, no. You, as old Barney said, you nip her in the bud. As soon as the temptation comes, you nip it in the bud. It's a no. Why? Because it's about timing. The enemy's wanting you just to, if he can just get you to play with the temptation. Then you finally say, you know, I'm going to go do God's will. Well, it's done. The shelf life's gone. The opportunity's gone. He was just trying to distract you for a season. Now, this is all about the will of God. What stops us from carrying out the will of God? He condemns us for our past. We won't do the will of God or even say the will of God. I don't stand here before you because I'm qualified. I stand here before you out of obedience to God's Word. It's not about me. I'm talking about God, and I can do that boldly. But Satan wants to condemn us for our past. One of the most powerful techniques the devil uses is condemnation. If he can condemn us for our past sins, we will never be able to move forward in gratitude. The enemy will always bring to our remembrance wrong and sinful things that we've done in order to condemn us. Does anybody have that one? The enemy's constantly telling you about your failures so that you feel like you cannot carry and speak the will of God. That is not from God. That's the enemy. He does this to make us feel like we're good for nothing. That's right. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Christ's atoning sacrifice paid the price to be forgiven. And when God forgives our sins, He also forgets them, and He says He erases them from His memory.
That's right.
100%. Isaiah, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Another verse, He cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. Now, this is a pretty big God. It's a pretty big deal when God doesn't remember your sin. You missed a wonderful place. Say, glory, hallelujah. It's a big deal. God doesn't remember it. God doesn't remember it. God just doesn't remember it. It's not spiritual Alzheimer's. God just doesn't remember it. He has chosen not to remember it. Can the will of God be stolen? My goodness, I can't do this one in 4 minutes, but I'll start. The devil is constantly stealing the will of God. Now, I hope you can see this. This is all about the will of God. What do prophets do? We speak the will of God. But here's what you got to understand. What's going on the planet? Why is the will of God not happening? Because we're not speaking it? No, it's being spoken. We got a problem. It's not spoken enough. I'll agree. We got another problem. And when it is spoken, it's being stolen. Now, I hope I just ticked you off spiritually. It's being stolen. The will of God's being stolen. I'm not talking about election. The will of God is being stolen. Restoration is restoring the will of God. Anybody with me? That's what restoration is. The restoration process of the cross of Christ is restoring the will of God to the earth. Restoration is God's will, but we must believe this. David said this. David acknowledged that he had to believe in order to see the goodness of God. Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, come on, church. Now, listen to me. David knew he had to believe. When David believed, then he would see the goodness of God. Understand that the will of God for your life, a lot of people are sitting in here and watching online. The devil himself is stealing or has stolen the will of God for your life. Now, you need to do something about it. Can you do something about it? The answer is yes. Now, here's supernatural restoration of the will of God. Is anybody interested, or you want me to wait till next week, or you want me to read it? Supernatural restoration of the will of God. It can be restored supernaturally. It's kind of hidden in the Scripture. We can rejoice and be glad even when nothing seems to be going right in our lives. This is part of supernatural restoration. Are you with me? Fear not, but be glad and rejoice, because God will do great things. And somebody say amen. Amen. He has given you the former rain moderately, and now He will give you the former and the latter rains in the first month. The floors will be full of wheat, and the vats are overflowing with wine and oil. Somebody say overflowing. I will restore to you, say restore. To you, the years, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm have eaten. You will eat plenty and praise God. My people will never be ashamed. Whew, I can feel the Holy Ghost right there. Anybody else feel the Holy Ghost, or somebody turn a squirrel loose? The will of God, now watch this, the will of God always has an anointing. The former rain refers to the anointing of Elijah and Moses. God will cause the former and the latter anointing to come down on us at the same time. The former and the latter, same time. The rain the scripture refers to is the anointing from God. Overflow is the characteristics of this anointing. When he anoints us, we will see overflow. First thing to restore in about the will of God, and I'll have to do that one next week for sure. Now, here's what I want you to see. We're the church. God's called us to restore those that are lost, those that are hurting. Our whole life's, our mission statement is to restore. What are we restoring? The will of God. That's what we're restoring. We're to be prophets of the will of God. I begin this teaching by saying, listen, we're not telling future, we're in the restoration business. What are we restoring? The will of God. So when you prophetically speak to someone, you're prophetically saying what you see is the will of God for their life. You're not telling their future. You're just saying what the will of God is. I think it's the will of God to restore the United States. Anybody have a witness? I just have to believe that's the will of God. I believe that's true, that the will of God is that the United States not return back to where we were, but to be a whole lot better. I mean, I think we did pretty good in our foundations, but I think God wants to restore beyond that, that the kingdom of God is here upon this earth. I think God wants to restore that. I think that the enemy was trying to destroy the prophetic voices over the election. That's what he's trying to do. All these prophets went out there and started speaking future. They shouldn't have done it. Should have sent them to the farm. I'd have told them. They should have done it. But the enemy has something. Well, I'm standing here before thinking that all that needs to be restored. If you've lost faith in the prophetic, pray for them. Don't lose faith in it, because the enemy's trying to destroy it. So we want to be a church that restores it, right? Whereas it's restored, you're restored here. We want New Life to be a church that you can go to and be restored of anything. And then not only that, I'll show you some other verses. When the devil robs something from you, he's got to give it back seven times. That's right. Now, if you believe in the will of God, and if you believe in the restoration process, you got to believe in the sevenfold stuff. That's right. So we're also going to get into that if you want to be part of this congregation. We're into the will of God, restoring what the enemy have stolen, and going getting you seven times more. If you agree with that, let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your will and your way. It's our prayer, oh God, that you would reveal to this congregation, those that are online, it's our prayer that you continually reveal unto us your will, and that we would continually try to walk into it and dispense it to this earth. I declare that this is a church, a place that is into restoring the prophets where the enemy tries to destroy it. We want to restore, bring restoration to the prophetic voice. Dear God, we want to restore the will of God in everybody's life and that the enemy has stolen. Dear God, in Jesus' name, and we pray for a sevenfold return of the anointing of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.